Thank you for downloading this William Hill podcast. You can get the latest odds, offers, and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app, and in any of our shops around the UK. The FWA podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome along to the Football Writers Association podcast here. Dave Kellner in the studio, joined by the chairman of the FWA, Andy Dunn, on the line now. First of all, good afternoon, Andy.
Afternoon, Dave.
How are you, sir?
Yes, very well, thank you.
Busy week in the world of football with the announcement that Jurgen Klopp is to leave Borussia Dortmund in the summer. And, of course, that sparked a lot of betting interest here with William Hill. Jurgen Klopp's next permanent managerial position odds on the website right now, and Manchester City 5-4 favourites to be their next employer. Real Madrid in the betting at 4-1, Paris Saint-Germain 5-1, Arsenal 9-1, and it's 10-1 and bigger the remainder. It would be good to see Klopp in the Premier League, as far as I'm concerned, Andy. I don't know about you, but he's the sort of character that demands a lot of column inches.
Oh, absolutely. It'd be great to see him in the Premier League. First of all, I think what we have to start with is it will be the Champions League. He wants a club in the Champions League. Whether that's Premier League or not is another matter. But he'll certainly want to be plying his trade in the Champions League. Is it why those odds on Real Madrid and PSG are quite interesting? Mm-hmm. It would be great to see him here. Just the type of managerial character we want here. He has, don't forget, expressed a liking for the Premier League. He's expressed the desire to manage in a Premier League at some time in the future. But then again, they all tend to do that, because also the riches in the Premier League, they don't just extend to the players, they extend to the managers. But again, he'll be wanting a Premier League job that is guaranteed Champions League football. And at the moment, if you look at that, then, you know, Arsenal there, I know you said Arsenal at 9-1, I'd have them down at 109-1. I think Wenger's there to stay certainly for another two seasons. So if you take Arsenal out of the equation, you then got Manchester United, who are clearly going to be sticking with Louis van Gaal. Chelsea, Jose Mourinho, there's no change there. Just leaving Man City, which is why they're 5-4 favourites.
Manuel Pellegrini's future at the club is uncertain, Andy. Do you think they need not only an overhaul in terms of the managerial position, but personnel as well? Because we've seen key personnel this season struggle a little bit. Vincent Kompany, who looked invincible last season, is maybe on the wane slightly. And Yaya Toure, in that game at Old Trafford last weekend, looked a little bit disinterested at times.
Well, yes, it's hard. You know what, Dave? It's hard to motivate players of that. Stature is probably the wrong word, but at this stage in their career, don't forget, someone like Yaya Toure has, you know, a couple of years, maybe even three, but I think it's probably a couple of years left on an extremely lucrative contract, the like of which he's probably not going to get elsewhere. He's into his 30s, and once the Premier League title, which is, I guess, what motivates these guys, is out of reach. You know, once those big honours are out of reach in a season, which I think they realise, and they certainly realised it was even before the game at Old Trafford, it's quite hard to get that extra edge. When you have young teams, you have young players, and even when titles are out of reach, they're playing for something. They're playing for their next contract. They're playing for their contract after that. They're playing to get a move. Mm. I think a lot of these players, you know, if you have a squad of that age profile, it's been talked about a lot, the age profile of City's squad. I think once in a season they find that the honours are out of reach, it's quite hard for them just to get that extra edge. I'm not saying they're not being professional. I think they are. And that's the problem. The other issue is at City, which affects sort of Pellegrini, his future, and if you're having a bet on whether Pellegrini's going to be there or not, I just would say that Pellegrini's future is surely linked to the two guys who employed him, the chief executive, Ferenc Soriano, and the director of football, Tiki Begiristan. Now, these are the guys who basically employed Pellegrini to be part of the sort of triumvirate running the club. They have a massive input into what players they sign. And in a way, Pellegrini is just the coach. So it's these guys who will also come under the spotlight. And I think they'd be quite loath to admit that, you know, that this hasn't worked, because it would be a bad reflection on them, which is why I would err on the side of, if they make top four, Pellegrini still be in there next season, and hence I wouldn't rush in and take 5-4 Klopp for the Etihad.
That's really interesting, because a lot of people automatically assume now Klopp's available that Pellegrini won't be there in the summer. Well, what's your gut feeling about Klopp then? The likelihood of him either coming to the Premier League or going straight into another top job?
Listen, the way I see it, he's clearly, by all accounts, from all our colleagues and our contacts in Germany, this did come as a little bit of a surprise. And again, and of course they probably would say this, but certainly Klopp's people say that there has been, you know, there's nothing lined up. But they did make it the very pertinent line in the press conference out in Dortmund, was the fact that he wasn't planning on taking a sabbatical in the same way, say, that Guardiola took a sabbatical. So in other words, he is in the market. Now, he's going to wait. What will happen now is the situation at Real Madrid, the situation at PSG, you know, and the things will move around. You know, if I had to say his likely destination, sort of Real Madrid would probably look to me as the favourite. There's something, you know, unless Ancelotti pulls off the Champions League and maybe even the Champions League La Liga double, which is probably unlikely, then I think from what we hear out there, he may be on dodgy ground and maybe Klopp could come in there. With City, you see, it's difficult. This does change it. You know, football clubs, when someone becomes available, they can change plans. So the plans that we sort of assume City had or heard they had was that Pellegrini would see out another year, and at that point, Guardiola might be available, and he would be the long-term long-term target, as identified by Soriano and Bergeristan. Now, the thing is, it changes the landscape if someone like Klopp becomes available. It's like when Guardiola became available, then Bayern Munich, who had a very successful coach in Jupp Heynckes, actually made the decision, right, we've got to get him before anyone else does. So it's a question of whether clubs, someone like Man City, think, well, he's available now. If we don't get him now, someone else will. And in a year's time, you know, things might have changed.
There's been the suggestion that Patrick Vieira could step in to be permanent Manchester City manager if and when Manuel Pellegrini, either he decides his time is up or you mentioned, the directors decide that it's time for him to go. He's 9-1 in the next permanent Man City manager market, behind Jurgen Klopp, who is 5-4. Carlo Ancelotti, 9-4 in that market. Rafa Benitez is 4-1. 9-1 Patrick Vieira, and 12-1 and bigger the remainder. If it's not to be Klopp, who would it be, do you think, Andy?
The next permanent, as I said, whether that be this summer or next summer, Vieira is an interesting shout, and there's certainly a groundswell of opinion amongst quite a few journalists that Vieira would be an ideal fit. And also, of course, we all know that he is extremely, extremely well thought of at Manchester City. His work, obviously, at the moment is with the development side of the club, which is doing really well. Their youth team, their under-18 team, have absolutely sauntered through to the FA Youth Cup final, where they are about to play Chelsea. And Vieira is very, very highly thought of. Now, it clearly would be a gamble in the sense that he hasn't, you know, managed at any, you know, recognised level. But then again, when Pep Guardiola took over at Barcelona, okay, he'd managed the reserve team and had some experience, but it was still, you know, his age and profile was probably not dissimilar to that of Patrick Vieira. So it would be an exciting appointment. My gut feeling is that it may be the one after next.
Yes.
Is that Vieira would be quite happy. I think he's 39, 40. He'd be quite happy to sort of see through this project that he's got now at the fantastic academy that they've built there at the Etihad campus. And then in 2 or 3 years' time, then maybe that would be the case. But listen, I would not put anyone off backing him. Certainly, I think at 9-1, it makes far more sense value-wise than, say, someone like Benitez at 4-1.
Thank you, Andy. Let's look at this weekend's football then, because a few interesting matches this weekend. Of course, it's FA Cup semi-final weekend at Wembley. And we'll start by looking at Reading versus Arsenal in the FA Cup, which is a 5:20 p.m. kickoff on Saturday. Reading 10-1, the draw 4-1, Arsenal 1-4 in the 90 minutes. To qualify for the final, Reading 9-2 here with William Hill, Arsenal in the betting at 1-8. On paper, Andy, this should be plain sailing for Arsenal, really. A competition that Arsene Wenger's had plenty of success in. And going up against Reading, who are 18th in the Championship.
Yes, 18th in the Championship. You know, not coming off a great result in the Championship. And also, it's so hard. You would love to make a case, and you can point out that the Arsenal at Wembley, you know, haven't always, you know, performed sort of as well as they can, and they've usually ground out results, but not always performed as well as they can. But really, it is so difficult now to see. I was just listening to Arsene Wenger at his press conference ahead of this game, a couple of days ahead of this game, and he's just, you know, he sounds in really confident mood. Mm. Also, you know, they just have a lot of players back in contention. I mean, Jack Wilshere is the latest player to come off the often packed injury list. I very much doubt. Well, he certainly won't be featuring, even though he is fit. But it just shows you what riches they've got at the moment. They ground out the results of Burnley, which is another element of their game. Maybe that they haven't had in the past, winning when not playing well. But in general, I saw them against Liverpool, and their attacking options are just so many that I really do struggle to see. I watched Reading's first game against Bradford City in the quarterfinals. I was there covering that for the Sunday Mirror, and while they had some options going forward, while they were relatively well organised, as you would expect under Steve Clarke, I just can't see them causing Arsenal any problems at all this Saturday.
Do you think that you mentioned those players back in contention? Mm. Do you think that Arsenal and Arsene Wenger will move for more players in the summer? And what type of player do you think they need to be successful in inverted commas in the Premier League?
Well, I think successful is the moot word and the right word, David. Now, I think what Arsenal fans will be looking at is, and I know we might say this most seasons, but this season above all else, is that they are now second in the Premier League. They may well finish second. You know, they're favourites to defend their FA Cup crown. So what they'll be looking, and they've got a relatively young squad, so they'll be looking to push on next season from this. And I think he does need to make signings. What I would like to see, and what I'm sure Arsenal fans would like to see, is I think without a doubt he will look for an international class centre-half. Mm. I think he'll certainly look for cover in the centre of midfield. Now, that sounds a bit strange considering the plethora of midfielders they've got, but really they've chanced upon the solution this season with Coquelin, who you know, basically was forced. He was brought back from Charlton on loan where he was struggling to get a game because of the injuries to Arteta and to Ramsey and to Wilshere. And they've sort of chanced upon that. So I think they could still, I think he still might look for a holding central midfielder, a centre-half. And after that, I think he's relatively well-served. I think Welbeck's settled in okay. I think Giroud is one of the most underrated strikers in the Premier League. He's clearly got options out wide with, you know, Walcott, who again, at the press conference ahead of the FA Cup, has said he expects him to sign a new contract, Oxlade-Chamberlain. So I just think, I think a world-class centre-half. I also think, actually, Dave, one of the things, if one does become available, and maybe, you know, we certainly know that Peter Cech will be available in the summer, a world-class goalkeeper. Yeah, as well as the stats stack up for Ospina. I think you look at him and you think, you know, well, is he in the world-class mould of, say, a Manuel Neuer, a David De Gea, a Thibaut Courtois? Probably not. So maybe if one of those becomes available, and you know they're not common, you know they're very rare. If he can get one of those, he'd go down that route.
Arsenal 2-0 or Arsenal 3-0? Then do you think that's something along those realms in terms of the scoreline on Saturday?
Yes, I think I wouldn't necessarily go for the nil aspect because I do think, and I think Liverpool showed this certainly in the game I was at recently, that Arsenal are vulnerable. You know, they are vulnerable. I would expect them to concede, but score, you know, a decent amount of goals. I would head, rather than give you 2-0, 3-0, I'd say 3-1 or 4-1.
Okay, 3-1 Arsenal is 10-1, 4-1 to Arsenal, 16-1 here with William Hill. The other semi-final is Aston Villa versus Liverpool. This one Sunday at 3 p.m. Aston Villa 9-2, the draw 11-4, Liverpool 8-13 in the betting. We've got a couple of managers here that aren't short of confidence in Tim Sherwood and Brendan Rodgers, Andy.
Yes, absolutely. And to my money, I was. I'll tell you what my bet of the week is later. But I think 9-2 Villa is. It would have been a contender because I do think the, I do think Villa are coming into this. There's just a different attitude about them. And as you say, Sherwood will absolutely love this occasion. Absolutely love it. I mean, don't forget, Sherwood is a relatively inexperienced manager.
Yeah.
I know people say, well, he was unlucky at Spurs to not get the permanent job after having a good win percentage record. But let's also face it, he was lucky to get the job in the first place. There's not many guys get that as their first managerial job at Tottenham and then to go into Villa. So, he'll be absolutely relishing this trip to Wembley. And his enthusiasm just comes across. He's lifted the team. So he'll love the occasion. But then, as will Brendan Rodgers, because it was important they got that win against Newcastle. It's sort of first of all, it's important that they got that win at Blackburn after the defeats in the Premier League. So now this is important for him to sort of get this. The FA Cup has become the thing that will not save the season, but will make it an okay season for him. So, I mean, two teams with an awful lot at stake. We all know what's at stake in FA Cup semi-final, but for these two, a very significant game.
And Raheem Sterling's been in the news recently. He was first in the news for the contract negotiations and then in the news for smoking the shisha pipe this week as well. What do you think of Raheem Sterling's future? Does it lie at Anfield, first of all?
I think he will remain at Anfield. Certainly for next season. Now, whether or not that is with a new contract or without a new contract, I'm not sure. But I think he will be there next season. First of all, I do get the impression, the strong impression and the strong information that Liverpool will not sell. Now, I mean, we only have to see him. We've seen Sterling link with virtually every big club in, never mind the Premier League, probably in Europe, a lot of big clubs in Europe. But I am under the impression that under no circumstances will Liverpool sell him in the summer. Now, they may say that now, but if it's tested by a big bid, who knows? But I don't think they'll sell. I think the likely outcome will be that Sterling will sign a contract, but that contract will include clauses that would come into operation if, for example, Liverpool don't finish top four next season. As Sterling would have clauses in his contract to say that if a Champions League club came in with a big bid, then he would be allowed to talk. I think sense will prevail, and I think Sterling will say, listen, at least one more season, and we'll see how the club develops and how I develop.
So do you think Aston Villa in this particular match, good value at 9-2?
Good value. I think good value. I'm not entirely convinced about the central Liverpool's defence, whatever combination is fielded by Brendan Rodgers, and I think because of that, the rejuvenation in form of Christian Benteke,
yes,
which Sherwood must take an awful lot of credit for. Remember how he rejuvenated Adebayor in that short spell at Spurs, albeit, and then Adebayor then went off the boil when Sherwood left. And I think he's had such a galvanising effect on Christian Benteke that I think he will cause the Liverpool defence no end of problems. And I think Aston Villa or the draw in 90 minutes is a value bet.
Christian Benteke to score any time in the match is 9-4 here with William Hill as well. Just one final word on that match before we move on to a couple of the key Premier League clashes. Steven Gerrard back. Do you see him starting on Sunday?
No, I don't see him starting. I think that with Liverpool having recovered from what happened against Manchester United, they were roundly beaten at Arsenal, but then quite a lot, most teams are nowadays. Recovering from that, I'm winning at Blackburn and then against Newcastle. I just think that Steve is out for a while. I think practically it's quite a big ask for him to come slot straight back in, maybe even physically. So I think Rodgers will stick with the players who he's used over the last couple of games and Steven Gerrard on the bench.
Okay, let's look at Chelsea versus Manchester United. Big game in the Premier League on Saturday. This is a 5:30 p.m. kickoff. Chelsea 10-11, the draw 5-2. Manchester United in at the market at 3-1. I shouldn't be surprised at Jose Mourinho and his sides and how they continually grind out results when not playing their best, but they've looked decidedly average recently, and they've still picked up 9 points from Hull, Stoke and QPR.
Yeah, well, you could say, Dave, you're quite right in mentioning those three recent games, but you could say in 2015.
Yeah.
I mean, really in 2015, they're not... Listen, I haven't got these statistics to hand. I mean, clearly, you know, they're the... I think that they probably, if there was a form table, they'd be third or fourth. Mm. And they picked up a lot of points, but, you know, they're not scoring... They haven't scored... You know, they haven't thumped the team. I mean, forget the stats. They haven't sort of produced a performance where they've a performance that you would associate with champions and with an elite club. The stuff that they were sort of doing at the start of the season, they haven't sort of, you know, knocked teams out of sight. I mean, that's due to a variety of factors. You know, Diego Costa not being, well, now being injured, but and previously sort of probably feeling the effects of a World Cup and then a grueling season and having to shoulder the burden himself up front. They haven't got that and the backup for that, Remy injured, Drogba clearly. It's a big ask for him to be the low man up front, and they just haven't, you know, and also because Mourinho has, the irony being that they have so many players out on loan and such a huge sort of, you know, galaxy of players they all around Europe and the English leagues, indeed, you know, let's look at the Championship and for that and Middlesbrough, for example, they have actually relied on a relatively small core of players.
Yes.
Some of those players like Nemanja Matic, for example, Azpilicueta, John Terry, even Cesc Fabregas. These are players who've played an awful lot of football. And bear in mind that they were involved, well, John Terry wasn't, obviously, but they were involved in the World Cup as well last summer. And they look sometimes a fatigued side. But you're absolutely right when you say the ability to get these results, grind out these results, is incredible, and that I have to say is credit to the manager, you know, Jose Mourinho. How I think his best trick is how he gets these players to basically to stick to his game plan every single game. You know, so every single game they track back, they cover, they are organised. And that's why they're going to win the league. So, but it's also why, Dave, I think that we're waiting in a way for a Chelsea performance. Well, not for a Chelsea game in which their performances actually benefit the other side. And I think this one's it. I think this one is all prime for Manchester United to go there and basically put down a marker for next season. It doesn't have any relevance on whether Chelsea are going to win the title this season or not. It may have some relevance on, of course it will, on where United finish either second, third or fourth. But more importantly, psychologically, it's Van Gaal and United putting down a marker for next season.
It's a proper test, this, isn't it, for Chelsea, with Manchester United going at 3-1. And do you think that... What do you think has changed in the last couple of months as far as Manchester United is concerned and the way they've been able to produce performances recently?
I think there's a whole raft of things that have happened. First of all, you know, every manager needs a little bit of fortune in terms of, like I mentioned previously, about Arsene Wenger having to fairly desperately call back Coquelin, and he turns out to be such an important player for them. It's in the same way that, in a way, Di Maria's suspension and other absentees basically sort of made also almost forced Van Gaal's hand into playing this sort of whatever formation you like to call it, but essentially it's pretty much a 4-3-3, and relying on players like Juan Mata, who at the start of the season was clearly not favoured, and he's happened upon this, his hand has almost been forced to play these players like Mata and Herrera. And they've all gelled, but not only that, they kept getting results when they weren't playing well, and eventually when you get the results, that will result in more confidence, and they're getting the ball forward more quickly. Under Van Gaal, to start with, possession was the be-all and end-all. Possession was king. He sort of had this drummed into them, and that is what no matter what, possession. And a lot of it was possession for the sake of possession. Mm-hmm. Now they're getting the ball forward more quickly. They're getting it forward to Fellaini. They're using quite direct tactics towards him on occasions. Mata is instrumental. So, and I just think you then start getting results, and you get results against the bigger teams. You go and win at Liverpool. You know what a lift that gives you. You know, you beat Man City. You know, who've beaten you four times on the spin. It's just given them a huge lift. You know, Rooney is leading the team well. It's just a combination of factors where their confidence is now absolutely sky high.
So Manchester United to go to Stamford Bridge and pick up 3 points on Saturday.
Yes. I mean, it takes, you know, even if it's Manchester United, it's still very bold to predict a win for any team at Stamford Bridge. But I mean, I see that. I see United going there and winning on Saturday.
And we'll finish with Manchester City versus West Ham on Sunday afternoon. This one televised as well, 1:30 p.m. kickoff. Man City 1-4, the draw 9-2, West Ham 12-1. It would take quite a brave man to be backing Manchester City at 1-4 at the moment, Andy.
Yes, it would, but I think it'd probably take an even braver man to back West Ham. I mean, it's a strange game, this one, isn't it? It's a strange game, and we might be seeing a game between two managers, one of whom has won the Premier League in just under two seasons, a Premier League and a League Cup in just under two seasons. One of whom has basically kept West Ham and established them in the Premier League ahead of, you know, in their season's time, they moved to Olympic Stadium. And neither could be in a job in the summer. I think if you had odds on, I don't know whether you want to dig them out at some point, but on Sam Allardyce being at West Ham, they probably wouldn't be.
I think we stopped betting on that.
I was going to say, you won't have them. That's probably not going to happen. So it's an intriguing game from that point of view. And actually, I understand what you're saying about back in Man City, but you would think that surely there will be a backlash or a response, sorry, is the right word, a response to the criticism, the torrent of criticism they got. Senior players, you know, players like Kompany, players like Toure, you know, getting the amount of flack that they got in the wake of that Old Trafford game, they will surely respond. But for me, that probably isn't the decisive factor. The decisive factor for me is the fact that is that Sam Allardyce is, you know, the guy is, you know, has been left hanging in a way. I mean, I know he says, you know, he sort of, you know, goes along with this idea that they haven't discussed contracts. But I still think that West Ham is a club just basically in abeyance at the moment, waiting for the next move. And I just think that must get through to the players. And I really can't see them going to the Etihad and getting any results at all.
No, Manchester City to win that match at 1-4. Well, what's the bet of the week then, Andy?
Better the week is Manchester United at Stamford Bridge. I do feel stronger. I think 3-1 for the win. I would even if you're going on correct score bettings, I would have a margin of two goals for Manchester United. I think they've produced good performances against Liverpool, very good against Manchester City, and I think they're due a really exceptional performance, and I think it'll come against Chelsea, and I would say United to win. And again, if you're doing the scores, have a two-goal margin.
Yeah, Manchester United -1 is 7.5-1, 15-2 here with William Hill. Andy, it's been a pleasure speaking to you on this this Thursday afternoon, and we'll speak again soon.
Yeah, enjoy it. Thanks, Dave.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.